Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Numbers 60 and 61.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, since text 60 is not on the board, I'll simply read it, and then we will go to 61 for our recitation, repeated chanting.
Dattavo vayavadvitscha tanmatra vayavairavena nasyur hyastat yava yavani astanna vayanontataha.
Because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary. Text 61.
Siyat sadrisha brahma tavat vikalpe sati vastanaha jagrat svapo yata svapne tata vidhi nishedata. Yat sadrisha brahmastavad vikalpe sati vastanaha jagrat svapo yata svapne tata vidhi nishedata. Yat sadrisha brahmastavad vikalpe sati vastanaha jagrat svapo yata svapne tata vidhi nishedhata.
Syat sandhisha brahmastavan ikalpe sati vastana jagrat svapa yata svapne tata vidhi nishedata. Ladies,
syat sadrisha brahmastavad vikalpe sati vastanaha
jagat svapo yata svapne tata vidhi nishedata. Yat sadrisha brahmastavad vikalpestativastanah jagrat sapo yata svapne tata vidhi nishedata. Syat, it so becomes. Sadrisha, similarity. Brahma, mistake. Tavat, as long as. Vikalpe, in separation. Sati, the part. Vastanaha, from the substance. Jagrat, waking. Svapo, sleeping. Yata, as. Svapne, in a dream. Tata, similarly. Vidishevdata, the regulative principles consisting of injunctions and prohibitions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a substance and its parts are separated, the acceptance of similarity between one and the other is called illusion. While dreaming, one creates a separation between the existences called wakefulness and sleep. It is in such a state of mind that the regulative principles of the scriptures, consisting of injunctions and prohibitions, are recommended. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In material existence, there are many regulative principles and formalities. If material existence is temporary or false, this does not mean that the spiritual world also similar, although similar, is also false. That one's material body is false or temporary does not mean that the body of the Supreme Lord is also false or temporary. The spiritual world is real, and the material world is similar to it. For example, in the desert we sometimes find a mirage. But although the water in a mirage is false, this does not mean that there is no water in reality. Water exists, but not in the desert. Similarly, nothing real is in this material world, but reality is in the spiritual world. The Lord's form and His abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and the Vaikuntha planets, are eternal realities. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that there is another prakriti or nature which is real. This is explained by the Lord Himself in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 8:19-21. Bhutta grama sa eva yang bhutva bhutva praliyate ratragame visha parata prabhavat yahar agame padastasmattu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktastanatanaha yasa sraveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu sa vinashyati avyakto chara ityuktas tammahu paramangatim yang prapyana nivartante tadama paramang mama. Again and again, the day of Brahma comes and all living beings are active. And again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That supreme abode is called unmanifested and infallible, and it is the supreme destination. When one goes there, he never comes back. That is my supreme abode. The material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is temporary or false, but the spiritual world is an eternal reality. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padukamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishokan Vitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschanjadesha Tarine. So what is that relationship between the material world and the spiritual world? Sometimes we say the material world is false, but it has a reality that we can experience. You can pinch it, you can feel it, it has some reality. So why is it described as false? Actually, it's real, but the falsity of it is it's not what it appears to be. That's the falsity of it. That's why it's sometimes said it's false. Just like imagine you're up in Alaska in the cold, dark winter, and you go to a cinema to see the Blue Lagoon. It's a movie filmed in Fiji Islands, you see. So you're sitting there watching the Blue Lagoon, and you actually start to forget you're in Alaska in the middle of the winter, and you feel like you're there in the Fiji Islands. It's so wonderful. You see, that's false. You're not really in the Fiji Islands. But is the movie false? No, it's a real projector up there. There's a real film. There's real images being, you know, bounced off the screen. The screen is real. The light coming out of the projector is real. The projectionist is real. The projector is real. The film is real. But the illusion of your being in Fiji, that's false, you see. So this material world is like a movie being projected on the screen of the Mahatattva, you see. And we identify with it. We think that really there's something really substantial here, but actually it's just the inferior energy of the Lord. It's not the actual abode of a living entity. It's not our real home. What is the proof? Because it's incompatible with our very natures. Our nature is we always want to be happy, but this material world forces us to suffer again and again and again and again. We must suffer here. You see, this proves actually this is not our place. That place which is compatible with our nature, that is the spiritual world. That place where you can taste unlimited bliss at every minute, relishing the association of Krishna and his pure devotees. You see, that is our real home. That place where you can hear the beautiful flute of Krishna. Venum kvanantamara vindadalayataksam varhabatam samasitam budasundanan gam kandarpakotikamaniya vishesha shobam yogo vindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept. He's super adept, actually. Super adept. Not just adept. He's super adept at playing on his flute. He has blooming eyes like lotus petals. His head is decked with peacock feather. And his body is tinged with the hue of blue clouds. And his unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. And see, that's our real place. To associate with that amazing person, Krishna, in his transcendental pastimes. That's our actual place. We don't belong in this dirty, nasty, ridiculous monstrosity of a place, this material existence. This is like some horror movie going on here. Actually, it's just a horror movie. It really is. It's a horror movie. You have to get old, you got to get sick, you got to die. That's incompatible with our natures. We're eternal youth. Krishna is Navayovanam, we are also Navayovanam. We're eternal youths in Krishna's eternal pastimes. We don't belong here. We simply belong in the association of Krishna. Alola chanda kada sadvanama yavam si ratnanganam pranaya keli kala vilasam shamantri bangaladitam niyata prakasham govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar is eternally manifest. You see? That's where we belong with Krishna. At every minute, the supreme superstar. You see? That's where we actually belong. You see? Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu ya praninam pratabilam smadatam mupecha lilayatena bhuvanani jayat jajashram govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. His glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. And where will you find, where can you tune into those pastimes? Brahmaji explains, they are reflected in the minds of recollecting souls. He is the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. So this means these great acharyas, you see, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, in their hearts they actually reflect all of these pastimes. That's why when you were sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet, we could feel connected with Krishna and all of his leelas, because Prabhupada actually, in that pure heart, he's reflecting all of Krishna's pastimes. And the Krishna books are proof of that, you see. These great souls, they reflect, their hearts are like mirrors which reflect the unlimited pastimes of Krishna. So when you connect with one of these great Mahajanas, you're connected with Krishna. That's why, actually, Krishna emphasizes the importance of sadhu sangha. Sometimes we're asked, well, can I just be a devotee of Krishna? I don't really want to have a guru, you know, to get in the way between me and Krishna. I just want to be a devotee of Krishna. Can't I do that? Can I just follow Krishna? Well, the answer is, in one sense, yes, you can. So just do what Krishna says. Ye me bhakti jana aparata, no me bhakti stache janaha. Mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas teme bhaktamata mata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. Not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You see. You want to be a devotee of Krishna? Great. Well, be a real devotee of Krishna and do what Krishna says. Otherwise, you're simply a rascal, sir. You got to do what Krishna says, otherwise you're not his devotee. You can't imagine your own, you know, make-believe Krishna that you're a devotee of. You have to take the actual Krishna and follow the actual instructions of Krishna, and then you're a devotee of Krishna. You understand? It's common sense, Billy. Don't cheat, that's all. Be honest, be sincere, be genuine. Krishna says you have to be the devotee of my devotee. Okay. Where do I sign up? You see? That's sincerity, you see. All we really have to do is be sincere. We were discussing yesterday sincerity, you see. One of the boys asked me, well, how do you develop sincerity? I asked him, did you sincerely ask that question? Then just stay in that same mood and you're sincerely to develop. You see? If we just take this process sincerely, honestly, seeing and admitting, you know, to ourselves and to the world our actual position, and not, you know, I'm not a great Paramahamsa, I'm not a great Mahabhagavat, I'm just a struggling neophyte devotee trying to break through the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, which has been torturing me for millions and millions of lifetimes. You see? I'm sick of this damn crud polluting my heart, birth after birth, distorting my vision, not allowing me to connect with Krishna. You see? So, if we, by taking shelter of great Mahajanas like His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the most powerful acharya in the history of the Kali Yuga. You see? If we take shelter of such great personalities by studying their teachings, by purifying our consciousness by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of this great personality, through recorded lectures, through the books, and then by not only understanding and meditating upon, but practically implementing these divine instructions, what will be the result? That day will come, we will see Krishna. This I was just recently explaining. Prabhupada wrote me one letter in 1972. He said, if you were simply engaged 24 hours in the service of the Lord with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come. He will answer all of your questions. So, that's a fact. That same Krishna who is there with Radharani, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, the gopis, the gopas, the calves, the cows, the butterflies, the bamboos, Govardhan, Jamuna, that same exact Krishna who is the source of everything, who is an undifferentiated entity because there is no distinction between His potency and the director thereof. Let's see. That same Krishna can become our, will come to us, and He will bless us with His divine association. We can qualify ourselves. We simply have to learn how to love Krishna, you see. Not that we take Krishna as our order supplier. Krishna, give me this, give me that. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, not like them. Not that kind of a mood. Give me, come on Krishna, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Krishna, I want this. Krishna, I want a wife. Krishna, I want this. Krishna, I want that. I mean, don't cheat yourself, Prabhu. I remember a very poignant instruction I got from the GBC at the time, Balavanta Prabhu. He was there in India just prior to Prabhupada's disappearance. And he detected a certain mood of devotees being very eager to get followers. You know, meditating, getting followers, Prabhupada disappearing. He detected a certain contamination in his godbrothers like that. Yeah, I want followers. Yeah. You see? And I remember he came back and very poignantly he told us there in Atlanta, this is back in the final days of Prabhupada's pastime, he said, if you desire followers, Krishna will give you followers, but you won't get Krishna. You see? Lord Chaitanya clearly states, Najanam, no followers, you see. Someone may get followers. Even some of my God brothers, they had huge numbers of followers, and they left ISKCON. They weren't satisfied. They had so many followers. But still, they weren't happy, you see. You can't be happy by a beautiful wife, by money or by followers, you see. Lord Chaitanya has made it very clear. Nadanam najanam nasundanim. If you want actual happiness, just develop that mood of pure bhakti, not even desiring to go back to Godhead. You see? My Lord, just let me always be engaged in your service. I don't care if it's the material world or the spiritual world. Just take me as your puppet and make me dance. Make me dance. Make me dance as you like, my Lord. You see? In that mood of complete, total submission to Krishna, Krishna becomes your personal property. And you can relish unlimitedly the transcendental association of Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tambaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundara, Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. That salve of love is a very important thing. Prem anjana. Somehow we have to get some of that salve, you see. Where do you normally go to get salve? You go to the drugstore, isn't it? The pharmacy, to get some salve. Actually, right now I'm suffering from eye allergies. I have an eye ointment I put in my eyes, try to curb down antihistamine for my eyes, you see. So you go to the pharmacy to get some eye ointment, you see. But there's another pharmacy. Actually, our Srila Prabhupada, what was his occupation prior? He was a pharmacist, pharmaceutical businessman, you see. Prayag Pharmacy, you see. So Prabhupada closed down that Prayag Pharmacy, but the pharmacy is still going on. Now it is the ISKCON Pharmacy. And there is one medicine and one medicine only, Prem Anjana, you see. The ointment of love of God. So how do you get that ointment of love of God? How do you apply it to your eyes? Actually, this ointment is unusual ointment. Usually you open your eye and put a few drops, you see. But this ointment comes through the ears. Very unusual ointment. You apply this ointment through your ears by submissively hearing and submissively inquiring and rendering service under the order of the spiritual master. You take this ointment in through your ears, not in one ear, not the other. No, that doesn't work. You got to take it in to both ears and go deep, 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 deep into your heart. And then your eyes will become purified. You see? And that day can come when you actually see Krishna everywhere. You see? You see Krishna standing before you. That Shyamasundara. An amazing personality. Phenomenal person. Just imagine what a person Krishna is. Anganni yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadurjvala vigrahasya govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Did you ever think that substantiality would be a cause of splendor? It is. Krishna's substantiality is one of the three causes of his splendor. The truth, the bliss, and the substantiality are the three causes of Krishna's splendor. Not only, not ordinary splendor, it's dazzling splendor. You see, Krishna is more dazzling than the most dazzling jewel, the most dazzling movie star, the most dazzling demigoddess from the heavenly planets. Krishna is the supreme dazzling personality in all of existence. Krishna actually dazzles everyone, directly or indirectly, you see. We're all dazzled by Krishna. Krishna is the supreme razzle-dazzler, you see. We're either dazzled by the spiritual energy or the material energy. Take your pick, Prabhu. Which energy do you want to be dazzled by? The material energy or the you're going to be dazzled one way or the other because Krishna is the supreme dazzler. So which way do you want to be dazzled? To an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, or you want to be dazzled into the repetition of birth and death trying to be a little imitation Krishna in this material world? You see, I'm the center of the universe, don't you realize? You know, it's ridiculous. Those who are intelligent, they don't mess around with this ridiculous kid stuff of trying to be God in the material world, you see. Those who are mature and understanding, they say, this is a waste of time. Why try to be compete with God, you see? Impossible. Advaitam achyuttam anadam nam tarupam manyang padana parusham navayom navayovanam sha. Vedeshu durlabham durdhamam atpabhakto govindam adipurusham tamahamajami. Krishna is inaccessible to the Vedas. He's obtainable only by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul. He's one without a second. I see. So why try to compete with somebody that's impossible to compete with? I mean, if you can't beat him, join him. Right? Here we are trying to compete with God. It's like Pandraka. He gave his try, you see. Didn't work. Didn't work. Instead of trying to compete with God, just surrender to God. And the amazing thing is this. The most amazing thing is that when you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. He gives himself to you. You become the controller of God. Krishna is Ajita. He is completely unconquerable. He's the supreme power, but he becomes Jita, or conquered by his devotee's love, you see. So Prabhupada used to say, why the Mayavadis want to become God, but our program is to become greater than God. They want to become one. I'm going to merge and become God. You see. But that's an inferior position. To be a devotee of God, that is more powerful than becoming God, you see. Because by his love, the devotee controls God. So all I can say is, I mean, for anybody not to take up Krishna consciousness, it's a pity. I mean, they're just missing out on the most blissful, exuberant, thrilling adventure you could ever have anywhere in all of existence. I mean, anyone who doesn't take up Krishna consciousness, they're just like the greatest idiot in all the three worlds. And that's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Namang duskritina mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya parita jnanam asuram bhavam ashrita. Naradama, you see, the greatest idiots, the scum of the earth, the lowest of the low, you see. They're foolish asses. Their knowledge, their brains are completely taken away by maya. They're just demoniac. I mean, these poor people, actually, we don't really blame them. They're just the victims of a culture which is completely ridiculous. You know, you have people like Dr. Stephen Hawking describing what is reality. I mean, it's a pity, really. Not that we should be proud. We should just feel fortunate, you know, that actually if these people became devotees, they'd be a better devotee than me. You see, we should never be puffed up. We should always just feel, I'm the fortunate one. So let me help these poor souls who have not gotten the good fortune that I've received. Let me tell them about Krishna. Let me introduce them to Krishna. Actually, they all have love of Krishna within their heart right now. Simply, it's in a frozen state. That's all. Everyone is a pure devotee. Simply, their pure bhakti is now in its frozen state. So let me warm them up with some kirtan, some prasadam, a nice book, so their hearts can melt and they can actually realize, yes, I'm the devotee of Krishna. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Ki Jai. You see? We have to be kind upon these poor souls. We should feel pain in our hearts to see these people suffering like this. We should be angry at how much they're being cheated and misled by these rascal leaders. And we should do something. We should propagate this knowledge like anything with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience to pull these fools and rascals out of the quagmire in which they've been dragged, screaming and kicking through millions and millions of lifetimes. I mean, it's really horrible. That's a horrible thing. An eternal inhabitant of the spiritual world is now stuck in the body of a germ or a snake or a rat. One of Krishna's eternal associates is some rat scurrying through the garbage can. You see? It's such an abominable thing. Truly abominable thing. So we have to try to, if we have no compassion, at least we should act in the order of that person who has unlimited compassion, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And by doing that, then our dormant compassion, which is sleeping within, will become manifest. You see, by serving the order of the great compassionate Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, then our dormant compassionate nature, which can't tolerate to see anyone lacking Krishna consciousness, will gradually become awakened. And then we'll be in a truly in an auspicious position where we can really give the greatest pleasure to Lord Chaitanya. What pleases Lord Chaitanya the most, Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Lord Chaitanya is very, very pleased when he sees that his devotees are in anxiety about the conditioned souls of this universe, you see. Because Lord Chaitanya is feeling unlimited anguish, unlimited torment in the heart to see all these living entities trapped in Maya. And a devotee who also takes up this mood, he's shouldering some of the burden of Lord Chaitanya's transcendental anxiety. So when you actually take up that mood, that Chaitanya mood of feeling sorry for these people, feeling compassion for these people, then Lord Chaitanya showers you with unlimited mercy. You see? Unlimited mercy. And when Lord Chaitanya, when you get the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then there's no limit to your happiness. So the more you become unhappy, the more you become happy. Does that make sense? The more you become unhappy to see the suffering conditions of these conditioned living entities within this material world, you become more and more blessed by Lord Chaitanya and thus more and more happy. So it seems, by the material viewpoint, it seems contrary. What do you mean? The more I become unhappy, the more I become happy. But actually, it's a fact. The more you feel great pain in your heart, as Prabhupada did, you see, the more we can develop that Prabhupada mood of feeling great anguish in the heart to see the suffering souls. Prabhupada was crying on the morning walk in Melbourne to see the Monday morning commuters. He was seeing them. He was crying. He felt so sorry for them. For another week, you know, working, another week of slaving it out in the offices, he was crying to see those commuters. You see? Just imagine the feelings of Prabhupada, the compassion in his heart. So the more we can develop this mood of compassion that Prabhupada showed us there in Melbourne, you see, the more we can develop this mood, the more we become very, very dear to Prabhupada. And the more you become dear to Prabhupada, the more you become dear to Krishna. And when you become dear to Krishna, when you become Krishna Priya, you see, very dear to Krishna, that is the perfection of your existence. No anxiety can ever devastate you ever again. When you become very, very dear to Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions. And I need Bhaktivatsala, why don't you be my hearing aid once again? The right ear is better. Yeah, this side.
Thank you very much for your class, Gurudev. So you had mentioned that we shouldn't be asking or trying to get something from Krishna, saying, give me, but a lot of the times I find myself asking Krishna for the ability to process and to understand the messages that are being bestowed before me, and the ability to develop true bhakti so that I can reach that level of Krishna prema. And I find myself asking those kind of questions. Do you think that
he has to remember all this? Why don't you break it up into small units? And he has to tell me everything you said because I can't hear anything. Let's stop here and let me, he can bring me up to speed on what you've said so far. He's building up to asking the question. Okay.
The question is it wrong to ask for the ability to – I don't know, to sort of get on the way of Krishna Prema by asking like for the steps in process, like saying like, give me the ability to understand what you're telling me, or please give me the ability to move beyond my arrogance and beyond this false ego, and give me the ability to just love you endlessly, and you know.
Has he asked the question yet? Is it wrong to ask Krishna to remove the impediments? Actually, it's very wonderful. My dear Krishna, please free me from all these anarthas which are impeding my ability to serve you purely. It's a wonderful prayer. Please, Krishna, remove all this dirt from my heart so I can serve you with purely. That's a very nice prayer.
So we just shouldn't be asking for material things, but asking for spiritual advancement, like in a give me sort of way, is okay?
Yeah, don't ask Krishna for, you know, a new watch or something like that, you know. No, you just ask Krishna, please help me become your pure devotee. That prayer, we should be very, very aggressive petitioners of Krishna. Actually, Hare Krishna means we're begging to become free from all the dirt and become pure devotees. You should be very, very aggressive petitioner for pure bhakti. Other things you don't need, because Krishna clearly states in Gita 9:22, that if you cultivate that pure bhakti mood, he's going to give you everything you need, material and spiritual. Everything you need will be there automatically. Just focus on begging Krishna for pure devotion. Everything else will come automatically.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the lecture. Short question. You were talking about Krishna's locket with the moon on it. Where do you know? Where do you get that? Or the Leela with that?
Where did Krishna get the moon locket? Well, if you become a pure devotee, and Krishna, you can ask Krishna himself. Krishna, where did you get that moon locket? He'll tell you. We have to become qualified, as Prabhupada told me. You have to serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day. It means full, absolute, pure sincerity 24 hours a day. And then Krishna, you can ask him directly, Krishna, where did you get that moon locket? And he'll tell you. I have no idea where he got it, but he's wearing it. Brahmaji saw it, and Brahmaji has reported it to us in the Brahma Samhita. So we know he has a moon locket. And it must be really amazing. That's all I know. It must be a really amazing thing, the moon locket. I'm looking forward to seeing it someday myself. Krishna's moon locket. Yeah. Next question. How do you know when you're sincere?
How do you know that we are sincere?
Again, are you sincerely asking that question?
How I know that I'm sincere asking this
You said,
question.
How do you know when you're sincere? I'm asking you, were you asking me sincerely?
But how I know that I'm asking
you're
sincerely.
You're completely sincere. Huh? What's that?
I want it. Yeah, I know.
Well, when your sincerity is perfect, then you will see Krishna. Krishna reveal when your sincerity is absolutely perfect, then Krishna reveal himself. In the meantime, we're sincerely trying to develop pure sincerity as sincere as we possibly can be. Actually, when Mataji asked me in Auckland, yes, Auckland, she said, I said, how do you develop sincerity? I said, where are you asking that sincerely? And she said, she's a very smart girl. She said, not sincerely enough. So that's a very intelligent answer. I'm sincere, but not sincere. I can sincerely say I'm not sincere enough yet. And see? That's sincerity, beginning stage. It's like there's Shraddha and there's Nishtha. There's two kinds of faith. Shraddha is preliminary faith and Nishtha is firm faith. So we have preliminary sincerity and we have firm sincerity. You see. There's varying degrees of sincerity, but when a sincerity is absolutely perfect, Krishna becomes manifest. So we're sincerely in our, you know, here we are in our contaminated state, sincerely desiring relief from this misery of material existence. But when we become pure of that, it won't even matter anymore. It won't matter. We won't care whether we're liberated or not from the material world. It won't matter at all. We just want to please Krishna. We won't care for our own. Now we're very concerned about our own pleasure and displeasure, you see. I don't want to be unhappy, Prabhu. I want to always be happy, Prabhu. You know, we're always, right now we're very concerned about our own happiness. But in the stage of pure bhakti, the pure devotee doesn't care a fig for his own happiness. He just wants to please Krishna. This is only, even if he suffers for millions and millions of births in the most nightmarish condition, it doesn't matter to him as long as he can please Krishna, you see. That's the perfect stage. Right now we're worried about our own happiness, and that's okay in the beginning. I want to be happy, therefore I'm coming to Krishna consciousness. That's bona fide. That's authorized, you see. That's one of the reasons one comes to Krishna consciousness, described in the Bhagavad Gita, to get relief from material distress. So we're distressed by these material bodies. They're painful. They're disturbing. It's problematic to have an aging body that gets more and more sick, more and more worn out, going to death. It's a very disturbing situation. So we want relief from that. So that's bona fide. But the pure devotee, he doesn't care. Live or die, it doesn't matter to him anymore. Old age, young age, sickness or health, to him it's all the same. It's all the same on the pure stage, you see. Anything else? Are you satisfied, Prabhu? Okay, anything else? All right. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I feel like maybe Krishna is going to test me for something. And it would be like if Krishna took my entire body, I would be okay with that. But then if Krishna took a part of my body away, then I'm sort of like, you know, I don't want to say like I would be okay with that because I don't want him to test me on it and then have to figure out if I am or not. And then do you think he would do that? Is he is he that kind of God?
You're trying to tell yourself you're not attached to your body. I mean, why are you trying to lie to yourself? You are attached to your body. Why don't you admit you are attached and pray to get free from it? That's a more honest position. I'm really attached to my body. Krishna, help me. To say I'm not attached to your body, that's not true. That's actually untrue. You're very attached to your body. So you might as well admit the reality and beg for relief. That's the proper move, you see. Is that it? The Mahabhishadam is waiting over there. Okay, we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We already have the fruit.